Hey, wedding community, Travis here. I just want to start out by saying that I can't believe we're on episode 11 already. It really just feels like yesterday that I was reaching out to wedding industry friends that I know to see if they would be willing to be on a podcast. And now we have a Facebook group. We've gotten all these great views and watches on YouTube and downloads on iTunes and everywhere else that we're at. And it's just been really fun and exciting to see the community slowly growing. Now that we're a few episodes in, there's a good chance that you might be new to the podcast. So I wanted to kind of reintroduce what we're all about here. I started this podcast because I wanted to bring together the wedding industry and for us to share our stories with each other and to give advice and to help each other's businesses and just really empower the wedding industry. When running a wedding business, one of the most common topics that come up is selling. How do I sell? How do I not come across like a sleazy car salesman? And so I decided to bring on someone who's a master of sales. Lucas and I dive into sales and many other topics related to that. How to tell a story and basically how to make the couple feel like you're not selling them and more so being a guide for them. So anyhow, let's hop into this episode and get started. Lucas, welcome to the Wedding Community Podcast. How are you doing today?
Great, Trav. Thank you so much for having me. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah. Thanks for being on here. We met up like a few weeks ago over the phone and talked briefly, and it sounded like you had a lot of good content to share with everyone. And so I wanted to have you on. So thanks for being here.
It's an honor, sir. It is an honor.
So for those of you who don't know Lucas, Lucas is a traveling wedding DJ. He's based in the lovely land of Lincoln, but I know he goes all over the globe to do his thing. He's been rocking the dance floors for over 10 years now, and he's even collected some awards along the way. Lucas, can you share a little bit more about your history?
Yeah, you bet. Again, Trav, thanks so much for having me here. We've been doing this for over 10 years now, and it's just been an absolute amazing, amazing journey. And we have met so many cool people along the way and so many great stories that have really kind of shaped in who we are and the success that my company has had. It first started that I was a little boy and I was at my cousin's wedding, and her DJ just absolutely brought two families together. And everybody's on the dance floor. And that's where we learned how to do the Macarena and the electric slide. And it was Mountain Mike's Music Service. And I'm time traveling about 20 years here, guys. So I have no idea how I remembered that. But on the dance floor, and everybody was engaged. Everybody was there, leaned in to that one moment. We're on the dance floor, and the DJ had the entire audience at the palm of his hands. And for that, it's those memories that you remember throughout your life. And I knew that right then and there, this is something that I want to devote my life to and sharing experiences with fun, loving, amazing couples and their families. And we traveled, almost 20,000 miles for our career that we've seen both coasts. We've been to almost every state with weddings in between, and we're able to go internationally and do weddings. And here about 4 years ago, we've pivoted and rebranded, and now we're to Lucas Hendricks Events. And so we really put that signature touch that our couples demand, and that they want to have something different, and they want to have really a more manicured outcome. And so that changed our focus and really helped. I was doing the same wedding the same way 1,000 times, and that's just the honest truth. And it was the same wedding, the same, it just changed the leading man, leading lady, or whatever cast of characters you have. Might have a few different songs in there, but really I changed focus and pivoted for my new company, my rebrand. And I really wanted the more personal touch. And for my new business, it really has helped us grow exponentially. And I'm really proud that my company has, I put my name on it, and that's a big thing, that we're offering money back guarantee, that if we say we're going to do something, we're going to do it. And if we don't, I'll write you a check back. And so for the weddings that we've done, I've never had to bring, knock on wood, I've never had to bring my checkbook or never had to write a check to the clients because of that. And so really we've focused our efforts into the outcome. And for our clients that want that personalized service, want that, again, that manicured service and the high touch, low stress, white glove treatments, we're not looking for everybody. And we're looking for those fun loving couples that want to have this one moment that they've dreamed about forever. And they're going to entrust us to deliver that for them. That's so awesome. That might be the longest answer to a 5-word question, Travis.
I love it. I love it. You know, you brought up something about that personal touch that you provide and how you were going a totally different route before then. And it was very cookie cutter, the approach you had before. And there's not like there's anything necessarily wrong with that. Like in a lot of ways, it's good to have systems and a process to your business. But there's something that's going to really set you apart when you're taking each wedding and you're making it its own unique thing. Like that happens to me with like our films, where when I started, it was a little more cookie cutter when I was doing my thing, like, you know, with same song a lot of times. It was like, you know, everything was in the same order. It was just like, okay, here's the you know, pan of the hotel, and now they're getting ready, and now we're at the ceremony, now we're at the reception. And what you realize is you're kind of doing the couple a disservice, because every couple is totally different. Even though, you know, they're getting married at the same hotel or the same banquet hall or same church, whatever it is, their stories are so different on how they met and, you know, like how they've come together and the dynamics of their family. And for you to give that personal touch, it's really going to help set you apart. And then people are going to latch to that, because, you know, with something like a wedding, it's such an important moment in their life, and you're you know, adding a personal touch to it, whereas, like, you know, the shrimp cocktail and stuff like that, that's not like, you know, as significant. Like that's just like whatever, it's the same for everyone. But when it comes to like their memories and how they're going to experience their wedding, they want to have that personal touch, and they're going to see that and latch onto that, I think.
100%, Trev. And, you know, because the broccoli really, the veggie platter and the chair covers really make the reception, right? Said nobody ever. Oh my God, look at that. They have shrimp cocktail. Awesome. No, nobody cares, right? And what'd you have for dinner? I don't know, chicken, you know, nobody cares. But it's like Dr. Angelou said, that you can tell somebody something, they'll never remember it. But if you allow them to feel, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but if you allow them to feel, they'll never forget. Mm-hmm. And so whether we latch on right away for what you guys do and creating that visual, and they can look back at that years from now on the cloud, their children, their grandchildren can look back and, oh my God, look, grandpa had hair, and they can live through that. And even when my wife and I got married in Las Vegas, it was a pop-up wedding. And I had 20 of my closest friends and family surrounding us, and my wife had no idea. And so I gave her 30 minutes to get ready. All of her stuff was brought to the hotel. And after our workshop that we were in, you have 30 minutes and we're going to go 5 floors up and get married. And so that was completely blindsiding my fiance, now wife, but the videographer's there, the photographer's there, everything was there for our wedding. And that our kids now can look at that, because they weren't there, obviously. But they can look through that. Now the song that was playing, 1,000 years, because, you know, it's a wedding, it has to be 1,000 years, right? it's a great song. But our kids now associate that song with our wedding, and that's what we watch. You know, it's all on the cloud now. But they can feel, they can see Dad cry, but they can feel the emotion from that. So bravo to what you guys are doing as well.
Yeah. And I think what you're doing is important too, because that's what they're going to remember. And that adds to what we're doing, because, you know, we've all experienced like the bad officiant, you know, the bad wedding planner, the bad DJ, bad photographer. There's always a bad one, you know, and that is going to show in the video, you know, like they're going to watch their video again. And if the DJ just totally dropped the ball, said the wrong names, whatever it might be, they're going to remember that DJ as the DJ who forgot their names. And it's going to be even worse because they have this video where they hear him saying the wrong names. And so for you to give an experience, that's just going to better increase like the quality of the photo and video that we're doing, which is, you know, it all kind of goes hand in hand. And then that whole teamwork and why that's important.
Absolutely. From start to finish, you know, we're all on one team. We're all on Bradley and Kaylee's team. Nobody's more important. There's not one link in the chain that's stronger than anybody else's, you know. And what's great is that we're all seasoned pros. Now we can all help each other out, you know, because I'm going to set you guys up. And perfect example is that we were working with one couple, April of 2018. It was Brady and Danielle. And I heard stories numerous times about Aunt Nikki. And Aunt Nikki's a handful, especially when there's a little bit of liquid courage going. And I'm working with their videographer and the photographer that, okay, you're going to be positioned over here because we're going to throw it to Aunt Nikki, who's sitting down because she had a little too much partying. And so we threw on Tony Basil's song, Mickey, instead, you know, we called it Aunt Nikki. And so everybody started pointing to Aunt Nikki right when the photographer and videographer set up perfectly and staged perfectly behind Aunt Nikki. So that was the picture that coincidentally is above the fireplace now at their house, at Danielle and Riley's house. And that's the picture of her. And sadly, Aunt Nikki is no longer with us. And so what a lasting memory it was that everybody was able to play on that same team and capture this one moment that's timeless.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just from this little bit of time talking with you right now, I think to the listeners, it's obvious that, you know, Lucas is very good at kind of storytelling, I guess I would say. So very good at like illustrating and kind of painting the picture of what it was like that time. Like I'm picturing in my head, you know, this photo of Aunt Nikki on the fireplace. And I think you do a really good job at that. When we were talking off camera, you had mentioned something too. I think your phrasing was something like turning the invisible into something tangible. Absolutely. Can you explain exactly what you mean by that phrase?
Yeah, absolutely. And so really it's creating that picture in the customer's eyes, right? So for me, I can show you on pictures and videos of how we create these packed dance floors and these lights are going, and that just becomes not special, right? Oh, what's the difference between this DJ and this DJ? They're all the same, right? It's the same lights, it's the same song. Oh, let me guess. Play cha-cha slide and everybody goes on dance floor and dances. Oh, and then the videographer, the photographer are going to take the pictures of this or the video of this and capture this moment. Oh, great. Check. Yep. Cha-cha slide. Yep. Check. Got it. Okay. Keep going. But for me to create this moment, let me paint the picture in the couple's eye of how special is your dad to you? You know, is he a big, strong guy? Oh yeah. You know, he's a car mechanic. Oh, you know, probably not a real soft guy. He's a pretty tough guy. Yeah, absolutely. What's your favorite memory of you and your dad together? You know, he had this old 41 Ford that we would go out and go cruising on Saturday afternoons. That's the car that I learned to drive stick shift in. That's interesting. What was special about this car? Well, it was his dad's car. And he kept it through all these years and he kept it going. Now it's going to be my car when he can no longer drive it, or he's going to gift it to our kids one day. So it's going to stay in the family. So this car is pretty important to you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so what if you guys came in on this car and this was kind of your, horse and carriage? Oh, we can do that. Yeah. Yeah. You can do that. You can do anything you want. Or if your dad's a Harley rider, you know, not big emotion guy, but everybody knows your dad from the post office or bank or the business or whatever. But what is it about your dad that makes him special to you? And we've had Navy SEALs, big tough guys, you know, necks like Rottweilers, great big muscle guys, you know, tattooed guys all up and down. Somebody you'd never approach. And, you know, this is the father of Brad. And this girl is still 3 years old in his mind and his eye. But for them to share with me this one moment of why he's so special to her, and we capture that audibly and we play that at their reception. And this is the man, the very first person to show her how she should be loved, what kind of relationship that she may see in her husband. I mean, that's special. That's powerful. And so I have to create this moment. And imagine on the dance floor, and we start the song, we start the butterfly kisses, Travis, you know, the quintessential father-daughter dance. We start butterfly kisses, but in the middle of it, we start weaving in, you know, hey dad, I remember driving, you teach me how to drive in the old 41 Ford. you know, those moments meant everything to me. With the, even the cruise home, we'd stop and get a vanilla ice cream cone or a sundae or whatever, and our hands smelled like fish, and mom wouldn't let us in the house. We had to kick our boots off. I mean, imagine him hearing that for the first time. And then what a great moment it is for the photographer or videographer to capture that moment. I mean, my God, you have everybody leaning in. Now that song doesn't mean what everybody's heard it before 200 times. Now it means something completely different. And now when the guests go to another wedding, because guests are going to go to 7 to 8 weddings on a typical year, now they're going to hear that song on a different wedding. They're going to recall Mandy and Travis's wedding that, oh, yeah, they didn't do that. So talk about setting yourself apart as a wedding vendor right away. So again, I'm selling the invisible. I'm selling what could be. Now imagine if you didn't do that. Imagine if it's just the song. People have been there. They kind of tune in. They kind of check out. They kind of start grabbing their phones and, oh, yeah. Oh, yep, yep. You got to check my Instagram feed. Yep. Oh, Facebook. Oh, look at that. Somebody else got engaged. They start checking out. And so the guests, soon they check out, they're going to leave. So thanks for the food. Thanks for the beer. Envelopes in the basket. Let's check out. Let's keep them from doing that. Let's let them have their moment to leave their mundane life, to go back to work on Monday and actually share that story, share what they had happened. Because everybody goes back to their office on Monday and water cooler talk or the coffee maker and like, how was your weekend, Travi? Oh, it's pretty good. I went to a wedding. Oh, God. But that sucked. And no, you know, it didn't. They kind of did this thing. It's completely unique to the experience. I've never seen it done before. Oh, really? What'd they do? So you kind of have that friendly banter. Now they're reliving your moment again for it. 48 hours later. And that's just one example, Trav. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. You're giving me goosebumps though, with that, that father example though. Like I was like, oh man, I could just like picture that. Cause it's already like emotional for the dad, you know, like that's one thing that we really like to capture, because, you know, these are the questions I ask when I meet a couple. It's like, okay, are you close to your family? Yes. I mean, that's pretty common if they're coming to us. They're probably close to family because they're, you know, they're wanting like a really nice video. So it must, their family must mean something, you know? And so, so, you know, I'll be like, okay, you know, how close are you to your dad? And she's like, oh, you know, he was like, you know, my first love before I knew anyone, or, you know, whatever, or vice versa. He would say the same thing. And so I'm like, okay, well, let's find ways to incorporate your dad. And so, they might have already been thinking of these things, but a lot of times I found that they haven't, because this is their first time doing this. You know, you're
right.
You've seen them 1,000 times. So you just assume like, oh, she's going to do a first look with her dad. Oh, they're going to do this. They're going to do that. A lot of times they don't even know that's a thing they can do. So that's when I start kind of painting the picture of like, okay, I just did this wedding. We had, the dad wait outside, you know, with a blindfold. His daughter came up, kind of like gave him a hug from behind. He didn't even know she was coming, and he got to see her for the first time that way. And she's like, oh, that's good. Cause yeah, otherwise, you know, he was just going to walk into the room after I was ready. I'm like, no, that's not as, I mean, it's like, yeah, it will be the emotional, but there needs to be some kind of buildup or something. And, absolutely. And I found by kind of putting yourself into the shoes of the day, they're already starting to kind of visualize you as their vendor. This could go the same for, you know, like a wedding planner. Like maybe when you hop on the phone, you're like, okay, let's figure out a timeline for you. And you're kind of sketching out a rough timeline for them. And you're giving them reasons why you want, you know, the cake cutting to happen before the toast. And you're using your expertise. So then when they get off the phone with you and they're looking at you compared to the, you know, 5 other wedding planners they talk to, they're going to remember you the most because you help make their timeline. Just like for me, they're going to remember me because even if they end up not booking me, I guarantee they're going to use that idea for the first look with their dad. Like, so it's just like, she's going to be like, well, I've already, you know, thought about what it would be like having him at our wedding. So let's just have them at our wedding.
No, 100%, you know, and there's always the opportunity cost too, right? That if I'm not going to book you, right, there's the opportunity cost of not achieving the wedding of my dreams, mm-hmm. right? So as somebody that's a hopeless romantic, and I am, and that I, you know, I've thought about, you know, I just thought about love, right? And we love, and that's what we do. And that's really, we fall in love with our clients all the time. And so for them not to hire us, you know, it's like, why? You know, what happened here? I mean, give me some context here, right? Oh, you're too expensive, or we didn't like that vision or whatever. Oh, I understand that. So be able to pivot that as well. But creating that visibility that you guys have this amazing ability to show the portfolio or show this venue and you can do this thing, whatever it is. And here's the quick, you know, just press play. I can send you a link, just press play. And we can have this. Maybe you'd like to do this. Maybe you'd like to do this. And this is what worked for this couple at this venue. And that as a DJ, it's just a little bit something different, right? In that the outcome, you see the mother lean in or the big mean, I'm saying straight traditional wedding, that if we can have multi-facet involvement, maybe there's a familial tradition that we don't know about. You know, crazy Uncle Joe always has to sing the Star Spangled Banner at 11 o'clock at every wedding. Well, damn straight, crazy Uncle Joe's going to do that. Wherever he's at 7 o'clock, at table seven, crazy Uncle Joe's going to stand up and sing that just because that's a familial tradition. And that's what we want to have done. And so a lot of people might not ask that question either, but we have to work within the vendor team to achieve that so that this is upheld.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's kind of back up to like before you even get on that phone call. So Lucas, you get an email and let's even say too, like they didn't even use your contact form. They literally like copied and pasted your email off of somewhere and you get an email from this bride and it just says, pricing question mark. What is your response to that? Do you just give them a pricing list? How are you replying to someone that's inquiring and kind of the first thing that they're focused on is the price?
Yeah. I assume that you've seen those as well. I thought I was the only one to that. No, I joke, Jeff, but this is fun. So I love those. I absolutely love them because yeah, they're sending out buying signals in that it's a lead. It's coming in on one of the national boards. It's funny that I'll respond with a different question. What date? You know, so I'm trying to engage in this conversation of some degree, right? So I try to give them anything, right? I don't want to give them too much information because I want to put the worm on the hook for them, right? But I want them to latch onto something. Oh, he just doesn't have a candid response. But I'm going to send them small, soft answers back, right? Nothing hard, nothing. I may know three things, like they're looking for pricing. So I got a name, they're looking for pricing and maybe a venue or a date. So I know one of four things. Let's say I do know the venue and I have worked with an amazing catering manager there or the owner or whomever. And that, oh my God, you know, the Holiday Inn at DeKalb, I absolutely love the beautiful staircase. Isn't Kaylee the best? I'd love to learn more about you, Dave, but I don't want to sell you something that you don't want to buy, nor do I want to leave anything out that you must have. Were you going to have the ceremony at the same venue? Send. You know, something easy. What three words best describe your wedding? Something easy.
Yeah.
And then I just try to walk them up a very small rungs at a time, but it's a relationship, right? It's not, but I want to have that as a real relationship, right? Because I'm a lot to work with. I'm not going to lie. I only choose to work with about 20 couples a year. And so that's 40 families that I get to work with. That's, man, there's gotta be some magic in those waters. There really has to be something special for them. And I'm creating this outcome that their kids are going to hear about. So whether that's in 10 years or 20 years or whatever, but we got to create something amazing and something more than what's your pricing. Click, send. And so really to answer that question, I walk them up a sales ladder. What about you guys? What's the best way to handle that
Well, I learned the hard way that it's not a good idea to start asking them questions like, are you looking for a short film or a full edit? How many hours of covers would you like? Would you like two shooters? That was, you know, like when I started being a, you know, in the video world, you just assume that people know what you're talking about when you ask those questions. And yeah, that's just not the way to do it. One of the things that kind of changed my outlook on it is, I don't know if you're familiar with Alan Berg. He's like a, I think every wedding vendor has probably heard his name, but I read a couple of his books, and he had one where he was talking about how you basically match their inquiry. So if they're emailing you and it's a paragraph, feel free to reply, maybe not with the whole paragraph, but feel free to kind of, you know, give them some more detail, because it seems like they want a lot of information. Now, if they are sending you like a one question, or like they literally put one sentence, then just give them one question. Don't get too crazy with like a bunch of questions. If they text you, text back. If they call you, call back. But never like jump off the path into a different one. So if they email you, don't just like not reply to that email and call them right away. I mean, sometimes that will work, but normally they're going to be like, oh, what is this number? Like, why is someone calling me? I'm at work. This is frustrating. And now they're going to have a bad picture of you. Whereas if you just email them back and slowly work your way to the phone call, if that's what you prefer, that's the way to do it, as opposed to just like, hey, let's hop on a phone call right now. And they're going to be like, I'm at work and I'm trying to plan my wedding while my boss isn't looking, you know, so I can't hop on a phone call. So yeah, that's how we approach it. And just kind of crafting those questions has been like a thing. But just like you were saying, it's always good to relate and then to give them a question and to explain kind of why you're giving a question. Like I always, like if I do get that one where it's like, what's your pricing? Then I'm like, well, you know, we don't like have a pricing sheet, because we custom make every wedding that we do. Every film is special for that couple. So I have a few questions to get a better idea of what you're looking for, so then I can give you a more accurate quote. Just like you were saying, kind of thing where I don't want to like, you know, totally be to not have enough, you know, content in our package for you. But then I also don't want to be just like throwing you all this information that you're not looking for. And so I want to figure out what's going on. And just like you were saying, if say it comes from a photographer I know or a wedding planner I know, I'll reference back to a wedding I did with them. Even if I've maybe never even been at that venue, if I've been to a similar venue, I will mention that. So like if it's a rustic barn wedding in Wisconsin, I haven't been there, but I just did one in Illinois, then I'll be like, hey, that venue looks beautiful. I just looked it up on Google. Here's one that we did at a very similar location, and we love doing these kind of weddings. And it's because of XYZ that we love doing it. Or yeah, I know Kelly. She's a great wedding planner. We just did a wedding with her, you know, 2 months ago. She did a phenomenal job. And I always try to talk up the person referring me, because not only does it kind of increase my credibility with them, but it also is increasing their credibility. And even if they don't end up hiring me, they're going to be kind of reassured that they made the right decision, at least with the person that was referring me.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, that's a lot to unpack. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, you gave me like a quick, you're like, hey, what are you guys doing? I'm like, I just
filled it all out. So yeah, to reiterate, Alan Berg's awesome. I've learned so much from him, and anybody that's in the wedding business, or especially event business, or any around that, somehow you're circling around that fire. Just spend the money, do the mastermind with them, and you will come out so much more engaged. Right. And actually get into the psychology of what's going on with it. Right. And like you said, Travis, that how they inquire with you, inquire that way back, you know, give them that response, mirror that, quick text, quick emails, quick Facebook message, whatever, you know, be available. Don't try to steer it up. Sounds like you can have a Zoom call with us, and, you know, don't send PDFs because they're not mobile friendly. And there's a million things that Alan talks about, and they're all gold. And it's just, you're just, your hands cramping from writing so fast. He's definitely wise beyond his years. We absolutely love any time we get a chance to visit with Alan. But yeah, definitely with not overselling, but definitely if you do get that inquiry, that next step, right? So you have to be accountable for that and get back to them as soon as you can. Most people think, well, it has to be instantly. You know, it really doesn't. I mean, we all got lives, right? So if it's an hour. You know, everybody's still going to be okay. We're still breathing. They're at work just like you, and they got deadlines, and they might not get to your message until 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Doesn't mean they don't like you or you said something wrong. They're just looking for more information. They don't know what to do. But really to be kind of a guide for them, you're Yoda, and you have to be the guide for the couple. And so that's what's great to work with.
Yeah, I want to stop there too on something you were talking about with the timing and when you're getting back to them.
Yeah.
In some ways, it could almost be devastating if you're replying too fast in a weird way, because it makes it look like you have nothing else going on. So they're gonna look at you like, oh, I don't want to hire this guy. Like, it sounds like he doesn't have any work. Like, he's not working, so he must not be that good. So let's go check out this other person that took like 2 hours to reply or something. So it sounds crazy, but people look into things like that, even when you're scheduling a phone call. This is a piece of advice I was given one time, but I was told you want to call them. So if you schedule a phone call at 3 o'clock, you call them right at 3 o'clock. You don't call them at 2:55. You don't call them at 3:05. You call them right at 3. And the reason for that is because, if you're calling them at 2:55, it shows that you had nothing else going on beforehand. But then if you call them at 3:05, then it shows that you're not readily available on time. And so what does that mean for their wedding? Are you going to be late to their wedding too? And it's crazy stuff, but there's these little things people will sometimes look into, and you just want to make sure that you're checking the boxes correctly, so they're not looking at you in a negative light.
Love it. Yeah. It's all the little psychology stuff. Right. And really, I don't know, have you gotten in much into the demo and psycho of who you're best serving or who your client is at this point? Really that's kind of the finding your ideal client and what's their name, and you can, if they go to Starbucks, what's their drink that they order, and you can kind of create your avatar that way. And so if you're a good chance, Scott McCain's amazing that he flipped the script on this, and he said, who won't you serve? And that I, like I said, I'm a lot to work with, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm a high commitment, high touch wedding designer, and for a DJ and entertainment designer and all this, that I expect a lot from my client. They have homework, right? And so they have to meet homework by certain hurdles and deadlines for them and checklists and all that. And it's who you won't serve. And that's, and I'm saying as single op, right? So solopreneur, if you're multifaceted or multi-agency or whatever, it might not be this way. And I'm sure it won't be. Because if they're buying, you're taking their money, real simple. But for me, that I can do a solopreneur, in that who I won't serve, like if they're not going to get my paperwork back to me and I really need this, I say paperwork, I'm showing my age. If I'm their planning forms, if they won't get that back to me, or they won't make this phone call or this Zoom meeting after we've already signed a contract or a performance agreement or whatever, it's the red flag, man. I mean, and now I'm going to need them to commit to 3 or 4 more visits, and they won't do this simple thing for me, but maybe it's, why won't they do that? So I need to get into their life as well. Right. And so for me to be adaptable into their life, it speaks volumes for that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I guess really like where we're pinpointing here is the sales. And, I think for a lot of wedding business owners, we get into this because of the passion we have. So, obviously photo, video, a lot of times we just love, someone buys us a camera for a gift, or we pick up the camera and we love doing it. So then we start trying to kind of shoot weddings, and then we start getting paid to do those weddings. And then those couples start referring us to do more weddings, and we raise our prices and we keep, adapting. Same even with the wedding planner. I know some wedding planners where they got started because they didn't hire a wedding planner for their wedding. And so they're like, I had to plan my own wedding and it was a disaster trying to do it myself. I'm going to solve the problem for that and plan other couples' weddings. And so a lot of times when we get into it, we're doing it because it's something we love doing and it's a passion. And so I think the word sales, a lot of times we think like greasy used car salesman, when we hear sales, we're like, oh, here we go. Like we're going onto the parking lot and he's going to use all of his cheap tricks and techniques to try to get me to buy something I don't want to buy. But I don't think that's what sales has to be. And I don't think that's necessarily like what it's supposed to be. And right. So I would love to just hear, Lucas, like what you're doing to make your sales feel, you know, not slimy and to be more of an experience for the couples that are inquiring with you.
Absolutely. And what's been successful for me before, well, yeah, I say it as the rebrand has happened here just 4 years ago, that it's been exponentially successful for the fact that now I'm solving problems and now I'm creating outcome, right? So for that, it's being a member of the team, whether it's team captain or for the reception host or whatever you need me to be, I'm willing to take lead, but also it's that accountability. And that's huge. So it's not the stuff, right? It's not the speakers or the damn facade, or I got this video that's on the front facade. That's kind of the new thing right now. And that I can speak from experience that it was chocolate fountains when I first started. And so now, you know, we bought chocolate fountains. I have no idea why we bought chocolate fountains, but everybody was doing it. So it's something we had to do, and it made a mess and it cost us a lot of money, but nobody was accountable back in the day. And so now you need that one person to be accountable that I will create this outcome for you. And that, you know, I was blessed with big shoulders, and I'm going to carry this burden of creating this moment for you that your guests will remember. And it will be the best damn wedding reception they've ever been to. If it is not, you don't pay me. End of discussion, period. That's it. I'm all in. I'm 100% in on this. And that's how serious I get with our clients. It will be the best wedding reception your guests have ever been to. If it is not, you don't pay me. End of discussion. So that's what signature means to me, in that there's no sales involved in this. There's none. I'm all in. I'm leaned in. How committed are you? And it's pretty simple conversation at that point. Well, we're just looking for somebody to play music. I can do that. And I can do that probably top 10% in the United States. If that's all you want, you don't need me. Mm-hmm. You can hit Spotify. I could rent you the equipment. You don't need me. But if you're looking for outcome, if you want to create something, you want to have a packed dance floor, you want to have these moments that people will remember for years to come, now we can talk. But in terms of accountability, that's huge, man. I'm going to have the best photo booth or the best chair covers or the best tasting cake or the best prime rib in the tri-state area, whatever it is. Is it the best? Because if it's not, you shouldn't pay for it. Mm-hmm. If they promise something and don't deliver that, you don't pay for that. It's not right. And that's how I run my business. I promise you something that you will remember this, or your guests will remember this. Your guests will talk about this at the breakfast next day, or in 5 years, this is going to be what your guests will remember. I don't know what it is yet. We'll figure that out. It's what's important to you. Is it a Game of Thrones entrance? Is it Harry Potter? Is it Star Wars? I don't know what the heck it is yet. But if I don't deliver that, you don't pay me. End of discussion. And so there's no real techniques. There's just honest conversation. And there's this visits, right? And I hate having sales meetings. Golly, man, I hate meetings. I hate them. I just hate them. Zoom meetings, great. No offense to Zoom. They have a great product. but, you know, we have visits. We have conversations, right? We just talk about things, man. It might be over a sandwich or a cup of coffee or a bourbon or a cigar or whatever. We've done them all. And that there's no real techniques. It's, I want to differentiate myself from the very start, from all the other vendors that they're looking at hiring. There's no real interest. I was thinking about this before our call, actually off camera, that there's no real label for what I do, right? Yeah, I play music, so you're a DJ. Yeah, but we do a lot more than that. You know, we help coordinate and plan the right. So you're a wedding planner. No, not really. You know, we design lights. Oh, so you're a line designer. You know, you can officiate weddings. Oh, so you're an officiant. No, it's just kind of, there's no label for what I do. You know, it's just kind of an entertainment designer, right? So if we have to bring in somebody else, to DJ a 2-hour set for their wedding that, you know, we love going to this club. And when this one guy is DJing, well, let's have him come in, or let's bring tarot card readers in, or like a Cirque du Soleil feel or a vibe. Let's do that, or a mariachi band or something. It all kind of flows in the idea, and there's no right or there's no wrong. It's just your reception or your event. And so to create this moment, that's what people will remember. I made them feel this way. Let's
see. All right, Lucas. So let's say, you've gotten the email, you got over that hurdle of that pricing ? Yeah. Email. You've been talking to them for a little bit, and now you're ready to, you know, schedule a video call, a phone call, yeah, in-person chat, Panera, mm-hmm, lunch, whatever you're going to do, mm-hmm, with them. What are some of the questions you're bringing to that call to ask them that's kind of prompting some of these illustrations you want to paint for them?
Absolutely. So, and that's a great one. So we've done the hard work, right? Now it's time to have fun and just get creative, right? And so I'll even send out before a meeting, I'll even send out at least 24 hours in advance, a simple questionnaire of the things that we're going to cover, because I don't want to just blindside anybody. And so I want to send out a couple of questions of, you know, might be, why do you even want to have a reception? Any familial traditions that we want to honor? Anything to avoid? Any topics to avoid? Is there any sensitive subjects, right? And so I'm going to ask them all types of different questions. One of my favorite ones, and kind of make them squirm a little bit, is what stories from your reception do you want your kids to hear? And so to kind of create that, like, oh, I was thinking long term, we don't even have kids yet. And so for that, it kind of puts a picture of that we are talking longevity. We are talking about creation and trying to paint into a different picture altogether of what is possible. What's something that you don't want at your reception? Tell me about the last wedding you went to. What was memorable? What wasn't memorable? What from that wedding do you have to have at your wedding? What don't you want at your wedding from that? So tell me about the last DJ. If they're hiring me for a DJ, tell me about the DJ from the last wedding you went to. What do you do great? What do you do not so great? And at least have an honest conversation. And really comparing with what is out there in terms of competition, to have that transparency with clients, it's totally different. And that I want to learn from them, right? They're interviewing me, but really it's a two-way street. Why do they get to work with me? Because I only got a certain number of days on my calendar, right? That's my inventory. And that I'm going to spend 25 to 30 hours custom creating their reception and their events. It really, like I said, there really has to be some magic in those waters.
Yeah. Even for myself, I think it's good to start with like the basic questions, like the softball questions. You could say, like, when did you guys meet? How long you been together? But everyone is going to ask those questions. So you really want to start getting deeper than that, because otherwise you're just going to blend in with all the other vendors that they're interviewing. And so for us, one of the big things we try to focus on is the legacy of what we're doing. So I will ask them things, especially on the photo side, with how it's become such a digital age and people are just looking for the thumb drive with the digital photos or the download link. Yeah. And so I ask them, like, where do you see your photos? Like, what's the point of your wedding photos? Like, are these just for your Facebook profile picture? Like, are these going to be on your wall? Where are they going? And like, oh, we nice. Never even thought of that, you know? And then I'll give them illustrations of like, well, okay, you know, for my wedding, we have some of those like in our hallway. And, you know, when I walk down the hallway, it's kind of a reminder of the wedding and kind of brings back those good feelings. And so I wouldn't, you know, like maybe when Facebook reminds me of like, this is where you were, you know, last year or the year before, like then I'll remember the wedding. But when it's in the hallway, it's like you see it every day. And so I'll bring that up to them. And then that kind of brings up the conversation of print and like why we love doing print, because we want it to be something tangible and not just something that gets thrown on the Facebook and everyone forgets, you know, in a few weeks. Well, not even a few weeks, probably like a few hours. And so
that's the truth, right?
Yeah. And whenever I talk to couples, they're like, no one asks us like any questions like that, you know? And so I think those are like the good type of questions that you should be asking, just like what you were saying, where they are harder questions, but you got them on the phone, and the worst case scenario, you can even tell them like, hey, it's okay if you don't know the answer to this, but this is the question I have for you. Whereas if you try doing it through the email, if it's too hard, they're just going to ignore you and move on to the next person. So you got them on the phone, you know, it doesn't hurt to even make them feel a little uncomfortable and ask them the hard questions, because that's how they're going to remember you. And it's really going to get down to the root, just like you were saying, of like, do they actually need you for the wedding? Because, you know, if I send them a video of someone who just started out last year next to me, who's been doing it for over 10 years, and they literally can't see the difference, then why do they need to hire me? They should go hire the other guy that's probably charging $100 for his wedding video. But hopefully they see that there is a difference in the quality, and that there is a difference in the service we're given. And that's going to be, they're going to see value in that, and they're going to want to book with us.
Absolutely, Trav. And even, you know, from your work that I've seen, is that you deal in the legacy, right? The you tell that story, right? And so when we're having that conversation, you and I and your fiance, and, you know, tell me your love story. Tell me about that. Let me start mining down and start chiseling away at how did we get here? How are you sitting in front of me? You know, what had to have happened that out of all the stars aligned and all the planets came together, and the Cubs win the Super Bowl or the World Series, and the Bears will win the Super Bowl. And, you know, how did this happen? And it's like, well, it's our story is just not that important. I said, you know what? There's worse ways to spend a Thursday evening. Humor me. Let's just start going. And then they start talking about how it all kind of came together. I'm like, this is a great story. And this could be something, right? So even, you know, I got this goofy idea. What about at your reception, we narrate your love story for you? A lot of people that are come there don't know the whole story of how nervous you were buying that ring. Because, Travis, I've seen it. It happens. And that out of the weddings I do a year, I may deliver, you know, 5 to 7 love stories, narrate those. And that people scoot a little closer. You know, you have that old married couple of 25 years that he'll put his arm around his wife and kind of snuggle up a little closer. They kind of live vicariously through the couple that are sitting there. And, you know, we were all that nervous guy going in for that first kiss. Right. And then the porch light came on, the big mean dad opens the door like, it's ruined. I lost my opportunity. Or we were in that car and we were listening to that song as it was playing on the radio. And we shared that one moment, not a word was spoken, or we were on our last first date, or I had my last first kiss, and I knew that this one person I wanted to spend forever with. That's the moments that we want to capture.
That's good. We should just end the podcast right there. I don't even think we need anything else. Lucas, I want to thank you for your time. There is so much. I'm actually, this is going to be one of those ones where I'm gonna have to go back through myself and like take down like more detailed notes. There was a lot of really good stuff we discussed. And, you know, I just want to kind of wrap up there with, one last piece of advice you would give. You know, think of a DJ who's maybe, just starting out. And if you were in their shoes, what's some advice that you would love to just give them?
Oh, that's great. Oh my gosh. You never arrive. You're never good enough. Always stay hungry. Always stay committed to your craft. And that whatever you do, whatever gear you bring in, there's one of you and there's one couple. And you get to spend that day with this couple and their family because those two fell in love. And all of this is possible because those two fell in love. And commit yourself to them. Commit yourself to that moment and be in that moment. Believe in them and that this will last forever. And your guests that get to see your craft, they get to see you perform and play and do what you want to do and perform your passion. And it's all because these two people fell in love. And that's the best advice that I could ever give anyone.
That's good stuff. That's good. Well, Lucas, thank you again for being a part of the podcast. Where, if people want to check out what you have going on, what's the best way for them to connect with you and follow you?
Absolutely. Thanks, Travis. You know, we're on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, wherever, YouTube. We are Lucas Henricks Events. luchenrichs.com, LuchenRichs, events.com. Glad to expound anything else if something wasn't clear enough. You know, this has been so much fun that I absolutely had a blast visiting here with you, Travis. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Lucas. And until next time, we'll see you around.
Cheers.